This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I was just a fan right now on that Liverpool goal. I was such an Everton fan right there. Everton, arm's length, not that into it, but they've come to life a little bit. Here's their last game against Liverpool in their stadium. Rivalry goes back to the 1890s, and, you know, the stadium's in Liverpool, right? This is big. So I'm into it, and Mo Salah just scores for Liverpool in the 72nd minute or so to give them the lead, and I'm like, a couple of lucky bounces there. Any person not on Everton is just like, he's amazing, right? And I'm over here going, oh, lucky.
Puts himself in the right place constantly, right? Going to get the goal.
Yeah, like somebody would do with Ovechkin or something, you know, just a Pittsburgh fan with Ovechkin. Oh, how does this guy always get the bounce? Well, he scored 850 goals. I mean, maybe it's more than just bounces. We'll see if we can get a bounce of our own here. Tie it back up. Chris Trapasso joined us maybe even two seasons. I know last year for sure, every week talking about the draft.
2 years now, yeah.
And we've enjoyed that very much. We've learned a lot, and here we go again. Thank you, Chris, for giving us your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. This is an exciting time of the year because it's like right when you feel like, oh, man, the NFL season's over. Like, there's no more football. In fact, there's actually a lot of football to be watched. We have the combine in a couple weeks, and I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to talk to you guys every week.
Well, we really appreciate that heading in here to year three of previewing the draft on a regular basis with you, Chris. We've spent the first hour of our show talking about James Cook, and a part of that conversation is the running back rich draft that appears to be presenting itself here coming up in at the end of April, and you know what to do and how to proceed. How rich and how much variety is there within this running back class?
There's a lot. So we're going to hear so much about Ashton Jeanty, and that will be justified. He's going to be a first-round pick, and I'm usually, or I guess I have been, an advocate of never pick a running back in the first round. But we've seen, and I understand the game evolves. You have to kind of continue to update your draft philosophies that, yeah, a 22, 23-year-old running back up to 25, 26 can be very impactful on a team if he can make guys miss, if he can hit home runs, and Jeanty can do that. But as I've gone through the rest of the running back class, there is as much of a collection of those type of players that I can remember. Maybe going back 2017, which was such a tremendous running back class, there was probably more top-end talent in that draft class. That was Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette was in that class. But second, third, fourth rounders, and we'll ultimately be able to kind of slide these players into specific round ranges post-combine. But it is a very deep running back class where a few weeks ago, if you would have had me on, I would have said, hey, look, you know, if a team wants Ashton Gentry, pick him in the first round, I'm fine with it. But as I really this week finished up most of like the top 10 to 12 running backs, I'm like, man, I like him. I like this guy. I like that guy. There's so many where I'm like, maybe I'm going to kind of stick with my original opinion of just wait beyond round one to pick a running back. And if the blocking is good, you can get quality production from your ground game from a bunch of backs in this class.
I am curious before we do more here about your thoughts on Gentry and just like his comps. Is he better than Bijan? I've read that. Other people disagree. I read how he was not a, like a top high school product or prospect, partly because he was playing high school football in Italy on naval bases. Like he was not in a, you know, a established program really. And then he got to the point where in year three at Boise, he was like record stuff. How high is too high for Gentry? And is there a team that you like him for?
Well, I think the Dallas Cowboys just seem obvious. I think they pick 12. And I will say by about late March, I'll have like the draft order memorized. I don't have it memorized yet. The Cowboys would make sense. Just seems like a Jerry Jones type of decision. They were running out there, Rico Dowdle this past season. They have a clear need at that feature back spot. Their offensive line kind of needs some work, but it's not like it's a terrible unit. Tyler Guyton, their first rounder last year, had an okay rookie season at tackle. They have Tyler Smith at guard, who's one of the better young guards in football. So I think that's probably as high as I think what seems conceivable for him, because we are certainly coming off this running back renaissance season with Derrick Henry, even Josh Jacobs, obviously Saquon Barkley, where teams are maybe saying, hey, maybe there is some value at the running back spot, which is kind of why I'm saying that I'm not totally entrenched with never picking a running back. But I think somewhere top 15 for Ashton Gentry, not quite Bijan, not quite Saquon Barkley, but he does have, to me, the best contact balance of any running back I've ever scouted. He's a little smaller, not crazy elusive, but it can sometimes take 4 and 5 and 6 defenders to bring him to the turf.
Yeah, I'm glad you referenced the running back renaissance point, Chris, because that this class of running backs is coming along at a very interesting time for the league with that having happened, right? Because I think it feels like it could cut both ways. On one hand, if there's all this talent, maybe teams and they're watching Josh Jacobs and Barkley and Gentry and thinking like, I want to get the best guy I can get, so I'm going to draft him in the first round and have him for 4 years on a rookie contract, fifth year option, whatever, we'll see, and then deal with it, you know, when the smoke clears. On the other hand, if it's so deep, you can wait, pay less in premium assets, and then ultimately in contract too, but then you don't have the fifth year option hanging there. I wonder how that's all going to play out. And like mixed into that stew for us here in Buffalo is James Cook and him posting on Instagram last night, $15 million. Like, holy cow, what are we going to do? So there's a lot of moving parts, it feels like.
Yeah, to me, what I'm taking from it is, and all those points were good, what I'm taking from what I think, how I think the league will react and should react to what we saw at the running back position in this 2024 season is that, I mean, there are certainly some guys that are not making the right decisions in NFL front offices. But in general, I think the league has gotten smarter with analytics and understanding how and where we should place the importance of the running back position and the run game in general. To me, what I'm taking from it is, yeah, if you get a really highly talented running back like Saquon Barkley behind the best offensive line in the NFL or Derrick Henry, high-caliber offensive line in Baltimore, then yes, you can get high-level production. I think back to a few drafts ago, or I guess 3 or 4 now, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. We all talked about, hey, you know, the Travis Etienne to Buffalo rumors in that draft cycle. But that was, like, obvious that those running backs themselves were not going to just transcend and totally transform those two teams' run games because they didn't really have good offensive lines. They've been okay. They've had flashes but haven't really lived up to the first-round hype. I think teams that already have established units up front or feel really good about their free agent signings or their year two or year three blockers, then, yeah, they'll probably prioritize an Ashton Gentry or the two running backs from Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson. But I think in general, if teams are like, maybe we aren't going to be the best in terms of blocking for the run, then let's just wait on those running backs and hope that they can make defenders miss and make the most of what there is in front of them in terms of running lanes on every down.
We certainly have more things to get to draft-centric-wise, but do you want to weigh in on an opinion on the Bills and James Cook and like what makes sense moving forward?
I would not pay him $15 million a year. Now, that could be, you know, if we're projecting ahead one more season, everything's going up. There's inflation in the NFL, too, that there are people that would be big defenders of signing James Cook to a long-term deal. Say, hey, you know what, $15 million for, like, an elite-level running back? I still wouldn't do that because, to me, I think everything that I just said about the run blocking and how key that is, I think for as great of a breakout season as James Cook had, and I think that he ran with more power, the fumbling issue was totally gone. He can hit those long runs. He's kind of deceptively fast. That was the book on him coming out of Georgia. I don't know if he has that season if the Bills don't block as well as they did. He's not super elusive. You can look at the advanced statistics on that. Not a lot of forced missed tackles. And he's not a contact balance guy where he's going to absorb four and five hits. And, wow, how did he turn that, what should have been a negative yard gain, into a seven-yard gain like you see from the elite level back? So there's nothing against James Cook, and he deserves all the praise that he's getting. But if you're projecting forward, you're thinking about other veterans on the team, I just still would not pay a running back that much money. And again, like we're talking about, this running back class, I mean, again, it's not near the top of the priority list for the Bills, but they could pick another, you know, round four Ray Davis type, and suddenly with Davis, a rookie, and Ty Johnson, they could be totally fine and get fine production from their running game in 2025 and beyond for a lot cheaper.
Early-ish prediction, how many running backs go in round one? Over, under, 2.5?
I can only think, I mean, unless I'm totally blanking, I can only think of one.
Okay.
Go under. I mean, if Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, like, tests through the roof, and he could, that he could maybe sneak in there, but from just, in terms of buzz right now, it feels like we're going to have one of those drafts where it's going to feel like every third pick in round two and round three is a running back. There's that many who are, you know, all different flavors and different skill sets and traits, obviously. But it feels like that's what the league understands. Like, that's still a premium pick, but that's where the real bulk of this running back class is on the second day of the draft.
Chris Trapasso, why do you hate Omarion Hampton and Caleb Johnson?
Okay, it kind of goes back to the same thought that I had about James Cook, that Caleb Johnson, Omarion Hampton are both big running backs, like 6 foot, 225. Caleb Johnson, I think, was born to play with Kyle Shanahan, or now that coaching tree is so gigantic in the league. Stretch runs, inside zone, outside zone. The Bills certainly run a lot of that as well. I mean, every team does. In terms of making guys miss on a consistent level, that's not really his game. And I think that's the ultimate skill that you have to have at the running back position. Now, both of them can run over guys, and the contact balance is good, but we'll see at the combine. To me, I didn't see that either of those two had elite-level traits to ultimately go in the first round. Now, if one of them runs 4.38 and has a 40-inch vertical, you add that with their size and then they have great contact balance, then we could be maybe talking about them in the late first or early second. But I always look for those guys who are really elusive, that can make that linebacker miss, that's unblocked in the hole. That, to me, is more important than anything else at that position.
Last thing for me on running backs, is there a Cook replacement you like the most, idea, Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, RJ Harvey from UCF. I'm kind of trying to dive deep and get super nerdy with my NFL draft comparisons this year. Like, I'm spending a lot of time on them. I think it just helps for these conversations, for when I'm writing, where people don't know these names. I almost went with Bucky Irving for him, but I ultimately went with Devin Singletary. He's that type of just laterally elusive. It's hard for me to say that. But he has juice down the field. He's going to give you more ability to hit a 40 or a 50-yard run. That was kind of the one glaring weakness on Devin Singletary's film. He's probably my favorite right now. And if you wanted a little more size, but still the same type of ability to hit those long runs. Jarquez Hunter from Auburn reminds me so much of Kyren Williams, who was a fifth-round pick but has become this touchdown machine in L.A. Great vision. The contact balance is awesome. He's really, like, effortlessly powerful. But if he gets to that second level without being touched, he can score on a 60-yard run. So those two, to me, a little bit different. R.J. Harvey's a little smaller, but those could be Cook replacements who, you know, would cost a fraction of the price and be younger with less mileage on their legs in a few years.
James Cook replacement. How dare you, Bulldog? I mean, February 12th. How dare you? Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports.
Job's got to be done, Mike.
Here on WGR. The Bills at 30. An overview here as we have our first conversation of the season, Chris. A couple of positions that might make sense for what they need, in your opinion, and who's available, as in which positions are sort of the deepest in round one.
Well, it kind of aligns for the Bills pretty well. I think you guys know, all your listeners know, and I certainly know this, that, you know, they need help in the trenches. And I think Sean McDermott wants that, Brandon Bean wants that, whether it's defensive tackle or defensive end. And it is a very good class at both of those positions. It's not just Abdul Carter. It's not just Mason Graham inside from Michigan. And to me, it's kind of ironic that it kind of aligns with that 2021 draft, where after an AFC title game loss to the Chiefs, where the Bills really couldn't get after Patrick Mahomes enough, they doubled down and went Greg Rousseau and then Carlos Basham in the first two rounds. And both of those drafts, we saw a bunch of defensive ends go in the first round in 2021. The Bills probably got one of the better ones late in that first round, and I think even if teams need those premium positions, there are enough that feel like they are going to be first-round caliber, and as always, this is combine pending. It's a really good edge rusher and interior defensive line class, so it will come down to the grades. It'll come down to, of course, what the Bills prioritize, and of course, what they do in free agency, filling some of those defensive needs in the trenches.
Do you have any thoughts on what my first draft crush? No, I shouldn't say that. There was a receiver at the Senior Bowl that I really liked from Oregon, Tez Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah. Nick Amonwori, the big safety from South Carolina. Give us your broad strokes on him, because he reads a little like Kyle Hamilton, Derwin James to me, and like I'm intrigued by the idea of a guy like that on the back end of this defense.
Me too.
yeah, definitely. So my comparison for him is Jeremy Chinn. He's kind of in that Jeremy Chinn, Derwin James mold. 6'3", 220. He's probably going to be one of the biggest testers at the Combine. So much talent on that South Carolina defense last year. It was like kind of weird. They kind of flew under the radar in the SEC, didn't make the college football playoff. But then you're watching these games back, and you're like, man, there's just really good players everywhere. He's that type. He can be that robber in the middle of the defense. He closes on the football like a corner. He hits like an outside linebacker. If he was there close to 30, I could see the Bills being like, this is our player that can really add a true dynamic game changer at the safety position. I think they like Taylor Rapp. Of course, Cole Bishop being a second rounder entering year two, I think they'll give him a chance. But Nick Amonwori is someone that I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at him like a Kyle Hamilton or a Derwin James type, because the traits are there. And it wasn't like he was lost in coverage or didn't know his assignment. He looks like an NFL-ready instant starter, instant impact starter at the safety spot.
The Bills have two second-round picks and no third. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be talking about the wide receivers in the second round for them, you think?
I hope so. I mean, so my draft crush, especially for the Bills, was Jack Besh, I guess still is, the TCU wide receiver who won Senior Bowl MVP. He reminds me so much of Puka Nacua. And what's funny is it's like when I've had to say that a few times on like other podcasts, people are like, whoa, Puka Nacua, easy. It's like, wait, this guy was a fifth-round pick who did not test well at the combine. No one would have scoffed at any comparison to Puka Nacua. That's probably my favorite idea for the Bills in round two. We'll see if he lasts that long, and certainly the combine will factor in with him. But to go like edge rusher and then defensive tackle, and then with that second pick in the second round to go wide receiver, to me that, at least right now, pre-agency, seems like the best course of action for the Bills, because I still think they need a little bit of an upgrade in their wide receiver room.
Over under first round receivers. 3.5.
3.5. So let me think here. Pat McMillan, Arizona is going to go, and I'm saying this like I absolutely am sure of it, but it's just kind of how it feels right now. He's going to be a first round pick. Luther Burden from Missouri, most likely a first round pick. Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. I'm going to go over because I think whether it's Jack Besh or someone else just tests into the first round. Mm-hmm. But after so many years of 5, 6, 7 receivers going in the first round, I think we had 7 last year, didn't we?
7 with Leggett.
7 with Leggett, yeah. And obviously that run late that the Bills stayed away from at the end of the first last year. I think just over 3.5, but we'll get to 4 wide receivers in the first round.
Overall, like we'll talk a lot as we go through this, well, until free agency gets here or Myles Garrett gets traded somewhere else. You know, if they make a big play for a big player like that, obviously you're using some of these assets. Where the Bills are picking usually isn't that enviable, but this year there seems like, and I think I've seen from you already on social media, Chris, that you have a lower number of first-round grades on guys than usual, but the middle class here, like 20 to 60, 20 to 70, is maybe a lot of similar grades. So, like, I don't know, which way does that cut? Is that advantageous for the Bills? Because they're going to get 3 pretty comparable. If they use all those picks, their 30th and then the 2 second rounders, they might get 3 pretty comparable players. Is that good or bad?
No, I think it's good, but to kind of tie into the beginning of that question, like, I wonder if Brandon Bean, and certainly you would have to get the Cleveland Browns to feel the same, but if Brandon Bean could be like, hey, like, our pick 30, we're probably not going to get one of our quote-unquote first-round grades at 30, and we don't really want to take someone that we have graded at, like, 45 at pick 30, so we would be more willing to part with that first-round pick this year, and we're expecting to be picking very late in the first round next year to get someone like Myles Garrett. My one thing that I'll say on this is that being a draft guy and, you know, of course, experiencing the drought, it's always, like, ingrained in my head, like...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Plan for the future, mm-hmm. think about long term, get as many picks as possible, trade back. But at this point, and I'm not insinuating that like the Bills window is closed, it's not. As long as Josh Allen is on the roster, it's open. But Josh Allen is not like 22 where you're like, oh, just get as many picks for the, like right. Now would be the time to make that maybe even kind of crazy signing where you're like, yeah, we overspent a little, but we got 30-year-old Myles Garrett with 28-year-old Josh Allen on this team right now. And, you know, we're all talking about the Eagles and how much money they have tied up in void years. It's almost $400 million on their roster that they're going to eventually have to pay over the next 4 or 5 years for guys who are not going to be on their team. But no one in Philadelphia cares right now because they actually won a Super Bowl. So that's kind of where I'm getting at, where I'm kind of going mm-hmm. away from always thinking of the long-term future when it comes to this Bills team right now.
Good stuff. Last year, 10 of the first 37 picks were receivers, including Keon Coleman. One running back in the first two rounds, Jonathan Brooks, who was coming off an ACL tear and then tore another ACL in the season
for
Carolina. Very good, Chris. Looking forward already to our next chat.
All right, guys. Me too. Thanks a lot.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, giving us his draft insight between now and the end of April. Made me think of something there with that Eagles point that we talked about last year and the year before, the pressure to win and what it does to your decision-making or could do. 803-0550, if you have a draft thought, we're here for it. We're going to be for a while. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack coming up at 5. We'll talk about James Cook and money and other Bills decisions they're facing. This is WGR.
You have to consider the context of the team. I think if you have a passing game where you have playmakers who can consistently produce explosive plays, you don't really need that special running back who can turn a 4-yard gain into a 25-yard gain, right? But if you don't have those guys, and Buffalo has kind of been struggling to find that guy. You saw that with the trade for Amari Cooper, that which didn't really work out, although he gave you a couple of splash plays when he first got there. I think you have to consider it. I think you have to consider maybe overpaying a running back who can turn those 4-yard gains into 25-yard gains.
Another angle on the Bills running back situation, if it is one, Steven Ruiz from The Ringer. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. James Cook pins an Instagram comment that he's looking for $15 million a year. Could he get it? 803-0550 is the number. Last year, or maybe 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago when it was this, after Kansas City trades Tyreek and wins, and how they just, well, no, I guess it's the year before when they did it, how because they had won, it was a different kind of pressure mm-hmm. on the organization to win again. And they had the, I guess you could say, the freedom mm-hmm. of from their Super Bowl win to trade Tyreek Hill. Like, well, we've won and we're going to do this. And the Bills didn't have that, if you will, luxury. It doesn't have to be how they thought. But it's, in my mind, you have to stay in the present. Chris Trapasso talking about the window, right? We're going to have another year of the window, whether the window's open. And I think Chris said what pretty much we'd all say, that with Allen, it's open. But what that means is he's going to play 15 years, right? And it's already been seven.
Mm-hmm.
So every year you have an urgency. And the kind of moves you make when you have urgency, they add up to put you at a point, well, maybe this was last year, where you have to sort of relax that. And I would say the Bills, you know, pretty much did that last year, trading Diggs and kind of hitting a reset button mm-hmm. on their team. But here we are again, like, trade for Myles Garrett, you know, what? Who your wide receiver, your favorite wide receiver for money, the ideas that we like as fans that make us think, in this case, the Bills will have a better chance of winning a championship. You want to get to a point, well, how you do so is by winning a championship,
right,
you don't have like this sort of pressure to always be making moves, so-called sacrificing your future to, you know, take advantage of your window being open, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that was proven out what the Chiefs did. I mean, they Hill was not washed up. He might be now, but he certainly was not when he got to Miami. He had a couple of very good years there when the quarterback was healthy. But they thought, all right, paying him this versus getting draft capital and replenishing. And, you know, it worked. It worked well enough. They won two Super Bowls after making that move. And so, yeah, I think the fan base is more amenable. It's a little bit, it's sort of like the opposite of what we were talking about with Cook just now. Well, not just now, but in the first hour of the show, that if they had won and this came up, be like, yeah, fine, pay them whatever you want. I don't care. Because, you know, we're just so happy that we won. Well, what the Chiefs did is like the opposite of that. They stopped. They didn't have to make a decision to pay a guy. They'd already committed that and decided, I want to get out from under this. And, you know, how much having won was part of that motivation, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they've ever really commented on, you know, other than it being financially responsible and replenishing the roster, if winning felt to them like this affords us the opportunity to do this. But that's right, the Bills don't have that luxury yet. So there will be, like, if this gets, you know, to be a thing where we're talking about it for weeks, if not months, this offseason. I don't mean every day, but, you know, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's not solved, and you got to figure it out. The Bills not having won yet, and Cook being such an important piece of the offense, will, you know, there'll be, I think, pushback. Because what have I done yet? You can't. He's a great player. He's the engine of the running game. You got to keep him. The running game's important. Remember. So it's harder. Really, it comes down to not necessarily trusting the organization, but I guess that's an okay way to phrase it. Do you do whatever you want? You won. If you want to divest yourself of James Cook now, all right, I'm here for that. That sounds sensible and great. You haven't won yet? What? How many touchdowns did he have last year? What are you doing? There will be a lot of that, I think, which, you know, makes for great conversation.
Hopefully. Philadelphia is the copycat example this year by winning. I don't know if the Bills... It works to a point, you know, if you're trying to be like Philadelphia. Bill Barnwell had a tweet today about the Eagles. It's like they have spent up at skill positions and were rewarded for it. You'd want to be if you do that. That's Hurts. That's Barkley. That's A.J. Brown. That's Devontae Smith. High pick. You know, wide receiver two. We did get a team that won a Super Bowl with a great wide receiver two in the end. The line, but he said what they've also done mm-hmm. is defensively get the draft picks right.
That's right.
And they're not spending, the guys they're spending the most on, like Ross Tucker told us in one case yesterday, weren't really on the field. So that tells you even more how well they've done with their picks. And so what does that mean? I mean, I think it's more likely the Bills lean into defense with their moves this offseason. I think most people would say that, given how the season played out. Will they use all three first, you know, 2 day picks on defensive players, line, DB, maybe a third one of either? Yep. I could see that.
That's where cashing in big time on those premium draft picks is so vital, because that defense is littered with guys that are still on their first deals. I mean, a couple of prominent rookies in the secondary, and DeGene and Mitchell, and then up front, the tackles are in, you know, still on their rookie deals. Now, of course, that does not last forever, but that affords you, you've got a unit there that you feel like can be one of the best units in the league and really win for you. And okay, well then, I'll go big on Barkley on top of going big on AJ Brown and going big on my quarterback and going big on my second receiver and all that. I'm pushing that all off. Eventually, those Bills, you know, you cannot do that forever. And where that'll get dicey for them is when it's time to pay Carter. And when it's time, you know, they've got a little bit of time, less with him than with the guys in the secondary, but eventually they're going to have to make some tough decisions. But the time to run the risk of kicking that can down the road is when you're all set up with cheap, relatively speaking, labor on the other side of the ball. On defense, you're set. You know you've got a top unit, and you know, nobody really is making big money over there. I mean, maybe their highest-priced guy, like Ross said, Huff came over and got a free agent contract from the Jets, and he didn't even dress. Like, it's rookies and just good picks that from 2-3 years ago now, and they just hit on it, and so that works for a period of time. You know, the Bills are not they're not quite there. They don't have that. Rousseau is not at the level of Jalen Carter, nor is Epinesa or even Al Oliver. Like, they don't have that embarrassment of riches of young guys on rookie deals that are just killing it for them on defense. Like, most of their guys are, okay, that guy's okay. I don't need to go fine. Out and replace him. They're all fine.
I'm not sure. Are they fine? They're good.
Maybe they don't even reach the level of fine.
No, they're not fine because we're not fine.
Right. We want to get better.
The offense was fine. Cook, fine. Defense, not fine. So fine does not work, I think. Which is why we're talking about upgrading.
Right.
So we got a lot of time. George Strait will be at the stadium before any of these guys. George Strait is the king of country.
I saw that in a
when did that happen?
Advertisement. I don't know.
The king of country.
I don't follow it. That wing of country closely enough to push back on it. I don't really know. But
I didn't know we had a king of country.
Like, okay, that's fine.
Fine.
Yeah, fine. I'm not gonna object. Yeah.
I didn't know we had a king of country. Who would have been? Who should be the king of country?
I'm trying to think of the guy. George Strait. Sorry.
All right. He's fine. He's fine.
It was predictable.
Michael Jackson was the king of pop. Michael Jackson insisted on being called the king of pop. But just like pretty much everything else in his life, he always denied it. He blamed it on the media. People are making up lies about me. Even that. I mean, it got much more serious. But even that, the king of pop, like, was it MTV? I think it was MTV, where like they were told he wants to be referred to as the king of pop. We're like, what? And then he's like, oh, why would they make up lies like that? The elephant man remains, right? How he want? Remember that one?
Yeah.
He wanted to buy the elephant man remains.
Yeah.
This can you still say elephant man? That was the guy. There was a famous
guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what protocol on that is exactly.
Anyway,
I haven't thought about.
Can we even
it
talk
time.
About Michael Jackson? These days, I mean,
that's
controversial.
King of pop, king of country, king of rock and roll. Obviously, was Elvis Presley.
The king.
I don't think they've ever.
And he married. Little known fact: Michael Jackson married his daughter.
Yeah, that was.
But he denied it. No, he did not deny that.
That was tough.
He did not deny
it. I don't think we've ever anointed a new king of rock and roll. I think Elvis sort of just lives on in that way. Queen of soul, Aretha Franklin. I don't know about a queen of pop.
Queen of pop.
Madonna, maybe, is queen of pop. I don't even know. I don't know.
Mariah?
I'm out on the royalty. I'm not sure anymore. Those ones I mentioned, I'm yesterday, pretty sure of, but the rest I don't know.
Did you come into work the usual way yesterday, like through the lobby and up the stairs?
Yeah, the music was blasting.
The music
was
bad.
And it was like, but it was like, when I got here, it was like rock and roll.
I heard what sounded like an older country song.
I sound like an 85-year-old. It was rock and roll.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on out there.
I almost turned around and left.
I saw some teenagers smoking doobies out there, I tell you. Oh, my God.
But I noticed the music was back. I think yesterday was the first time I noticed it.
But it was not the usual sort of, oh, here's a nice piano version of Come As You Are by Nirvana. It was like there were guitars clanging when I came in. Like
vocals.
Vocals. Yeah, and it was much louder than it usually was.
I wonder why.
I think it was those kids smoking the doobies.
Who got that changed?
I didn't notice it today.
It's always been sort of sad and ironic to me that to work at a radio station, there's no music you ever hear from your, you know, once you turn your car off to ever, I guess. Like, never, there was no music. There used to be, but there's no music in the lobby. We share the building with different companies, so it didn't have to be like our show or anything like that, but, and not that we play songs. But anyway, something, Kiss or something, that wouldn't have to be because we share the building, like there's a dentist office and a real estate and different things. But then, you know, in here, still no, like,
right.
Now, though, yes, music is back.
Was back yesterday. Did you notice it today?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought of it again today.
I didn't think of it today when I came in.
Lines are open. We'll talk to Mike Jannetty from SpotTrac coming up in less than 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. I got a tweet recently that I just remembered, a listener wanting us to fire up that quarterback carousel draft again.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
It could be a great year for it.
What is that again? I mean, I recognize the name. I remember doing it. I'm just not entirely positive how it works. I think we're all going to need to lay it out.
No one is entirely. I've never been entirely positive how it works. We changed point systems. I don't know. The premise is cool to try to best predict who starts for whom 2025 week one. And the sooner you do it, the better, before we start to hear about dominoes falling with quarterbacks. We did a thing where the older the guy was, the more points you got. I don't know. The point thing never really worked.
Points for years of experience. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you match the guy, Matt Ryan going to Indianapolis paid really big.
If anybody had that, yes.
Yeah.
So, however we do it, we will figure that out, I guess, Like, you have, I can think of at least six teams where I have no idea who their starting quarterback is going to be. You have the Browns and the Giants who pick in the top three that right now I would guess a rookie is their week one starter. I would guess maybe Cam Ward is the Browns week one starter. Shedeur Sanders, the Giants week one starter. They could also draft those players and have a veteran. Maybe Tyrod Taylor is back with the Giants, or for that matter, the Browns. He played for them too. And like, that's his role in the league since he left the Bills, is to start for somebody until they take him out or he gets hurt and the rookie goes in.
Right.
Jets, though, Raiders, Steelers, Titans are four teams where it's really a crapshoot, like who it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Fields is Pittsburgh. That's kind of how it sounds. Justin Fields was trending today for me, and I clicked on him, and it was like tweet after tweet after tweet about how good he is.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it his agents tweeting?
Maybe. Maybe. Whenever you see something positive about me, it's my agent who's doing it.
Was it objective analysis saying he's good? Because I would struggle with that, I think, myself.
I think the Jets are the toughest one. Because Darnold is a player in this, but he's not going to the Jets.
I would expect not.
So who is? If they can't draft somebody, Rodgers isn't back, who is the starting quarterback for the Jets?
Kirk Cousins.
Is that, though, too similar to what they just did? Maybe it is, but
who cares?
What's a better idea?
I mean, you even with the Achilles injury, if you want it, like it's really a match. Yeah, I feel like that's perfect. That's perfect,
but it's terrible.
Which is why it's perfect, because it's the Jets.
What's a better idea for the Jets, Cousins or Jameis Winston? I feel like Winston, as a player, is like close to toxic. That just the turnovers are too much.
Yeah, I despite how many teams may be looking, and maybe there'll be teams that we don't even think of right now. I think you asked me this somewhere during the season. Is he starting somewhere next year? I'm like, no way. I think teams are too scared of the personality is great, but even that can be it's such a big personality. He's going to take over. Like, do you want that? He's going to come in and then throw three interceptions in your opener, and you're going to be like, but everybody loves him. The guys, I don't think I want to get into that business if I'm the Jets. I would say Cousins is a better play. It's still not a good idea, but a better play than Jameis Winston.
Wow, the Jets, what do they do? Funniest idea would be Daniel Jones, I think, playing for the Jets.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great? Or a Zach Wilson return?
Give me Rodgers on the Giants then.
Rodgers on the Giants, Daniel Jones on the Jets. Did they get confused?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is you. I'm not on this team anymore.
Why is the trim for the stadium on game day green instead of blue? I'm confused because you play for the other team now.
Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack coming up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.